Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, I want to start in the book of Genesis. It's chapter 12, verse 1. It's where Abram, those of you who have some familiarity with Old Testament or Abraham, or he was called Abram before he was called Abraham, where the Lord speaks to him and tells him to pack up and move on and go. And the Lord says, when you get there, I'll let you know. How many of you like all the details first? You that kind of person? Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, you know. We all want the details to everything before we pack, before we go. But it's interesting, we don't tell our children everything. We just say, get your stuff, get in the car. We're going away a couple days. Where are we going? You might tell them that. But, you know, it's interesting. We don't give them all the details, yet when it comes to our Father in heaven, we want to know everything. And I want to talk to you a little bit about our faith journey, hearing from the Lord, being willing to go and to trust Him in our life. And it's, I know it's not always packing up your household and going. It just, maybe it's you're going into a meeting and you want to have everything together and you kind of want to know everything that's going to happen. Whatever the scenario is in our life, I want to talk about these principles. So in Genesis 12, verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your kindred, your family. And now he did bring some family with him. But your family tree, your all your relatives, that which you're familiar with. And and go from your father's house to the land that I will show you. To the land that I will show you. You know, Jesus in the Gospels, I think it was 21 times. And of course, we know the Gospels don't hold everything that Jesus did or said. It's clear that books could not hold all that he said and did. But we can read there, and over 21 times he says to people or makes the invitation to individuals or groups, come and follow me. Basically, come and follow me to, well, a life that you don't really know or haven't known to this point. You know, sometimes he calls us to a place we don't know. He calls us to a life we don't know. Those are challenging moments. He calls us to do something we're not familiar with, we're not necessarily comfortable with, that we don't have all the details to. And I want you to know it's okay to ask him questions. Dialogue with him. But when he doesn't tell you because he wants you to trust him or follow him, or, you know, sometimes in this life, this faith walk, this life faith journey that we have following him, I can look back and say, you know, I'm glad that he didn't tell me all the details. Yeah, I'm glad he didn't tell me about this because I know me. And I may have not done this. I may have not followed him. I may have listened to him and then tried to alter his plan. Still try to get the same outcome, but try to alter it. Put the Randy twist on it. Just like you may do. You know, tells the rich young ruler in Luke 18, 22, he says, come and follow me. He makes this invitation to you and I the disciples, come, follow me. Drop what you're doing. Follow me. Pick up your cross. Follow me. All these invitations to follow him. And he doesn't always give us this map. He might give us direction. He may prompt us in a certain way by the revelation of his goodness and his spirit to us. But on what to say or to what to do or where to go or to stay put or to shut up. Things to say and things not to say that we'd like to say or things we don't want to say. You know, all of these things of sensing God's direction and trusting him, you know, we like the map, but I think we're called to trust the guide. Trust the guide. Besides, the map, it can show you a route. But I've discovered that even though I follow the route, it's a whole nother thing to experience the step by step. Right? The things we encounter along the way, those are not all on the map. And so it's good to trust the guide. I want to share with you some things when the path doesn't seem completely clear. Okay? I remember my first place of ministry. It was in London, Ontario, at London Gospel Temple. It was my first full-time position. It was a fairly large church. We had anywhere from probably 8 to 12 pastors on staff at any given time. They reached out to me, contacted me. I'm not going to tell you all the story of how that happened, but said yes and went there to be their youth and college and career pastor. First place, full time, okay? And at that time in my life, I still wasn't quite looking for a place. I was figuring, am I going to do a little more schooling? What am I going to do? And was traveling around with a youth evangelist at the time, doing camps, convention, church services, all of that. And was after 4 years of being at university. And this church contacted me, and I said yes. It's where I met this fine young woman. Yeah, she's all right. And I was there for only about two plus years. And didn't plan it that way. But I remember being in our townhouse that we were renting, and I was in the kitchen. I think it was later in the evening, which, you know, I'm kind of found there later in the evening in the kitchen often still, or in the middle of the night. And I was standing there at the counter, and Jesse, the Lord, spoke to me. He said, Randy, I want you to resign. Now, I knew it was his voice. And I was like, well, okay, but, right? I had to start to think about this stuff. I mean, because natural conventional human wisdom that I was raised with by my father and my mother, but my father, is you don't quit one job, Olivia, until you have a next one lined up and secured. Okay? So that's how it was growing up and all the different jobs I had. I didn't quit one. I wasn't without a job, you know, even though I lived at home, you know. But So here I am, and now my Father in heaven says to me, Dr. Euchre, resign. Well, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? So I had a choice to make. And, you know, I could go to the scripture and thumb through it and say, okay. And there's lots of scriptures that would encourage me and strengthen me, but, you know, this is a decision. And, you know, Lord, when you called me into ministry and I left for Bible college, Bible university, you know, my dad wasn't real thrilled with that decision, but I followed you. I packed up, I left. I went back for a couple of summers, and it's not like my dad was mad at me or any of those kind of things. You know, this is his first time around the block with this. I'm his oldest, and obviously his favorite, and so, you know, he wanted me around. He had other ideas. He's probably going to do like I did and like my dad did, and he's going to drive truck, and he's going to be a blue-collar worker, and we can, you know, work overtime, and we can go on weekends, and we can go up north and hunt for a couple days. This is how we're going to spend our life together. Well, that's not what happened. Now, I want you to know, time later, my dad came around. And grateful, and he can see how this was meant to be and all of that. But this was hard for him. And he was newer in the faith at this time in his life. But here's my Father in heaven now telling me to do something that my earthly father said, you don't ever do. And now I also have the responsibility of... This isn't just me. A responsibility of a family. We didn't have children yet, but responsibility. And felt the call to provide and to protect and to, but also to lead by faith and obedience. So I went in and talked with the pastor, not that I was directly accountable to. You know, when you have that many pastors, you got pastors reporting to other pastors, and then, of course, the senior and all of that. But I went right to the big dog. Made an appointment to see the pastor. I wanted to talk with him. I wanted to tell him what I experienced, where I was at, and that I am supposed to resign. And I don't know why, but the Lord spoke to me. And he was very gracious. He was very kind. That I discovered years later that that's not always how things go at churches. They can get miffed. They can get mad. They start to write you off. And they say, well, you know what? Why don't you clean up your office in 2 weeks and you're out of here. And not always helpful. And so, but this pastor, Pastor Bob Smith, he was very gracious. He was helpful. And he said, okay, Randy, let's talk about a date. Let's talk about how we get there, how we're going to handle this, and let me know as you start to seek out and search out what the Lord has or opportunities, you know, just keep me posted if you would. And I said, I'll do that. And so, picked the resignation date. By the time I resigned and left, very grateful, had opportunities, and one we said yes to, and we were on our way. So very grateful, the Lord's timing, but I didn't know that when I resigned, because I was going to follow the common sense and the wisdom that God gives us until he comes in and says something different, right? I told my children the same thing that my father told me, but I also threw in the faith aspect. Unless the Lord's telling you something different, these are the principles that we hold to, right? And so, and went on to our next place of ministry, marvelous place of ministry, very fruitful ministry. And the Lord just brought it all together out of a faith journey, out of an obedience. In fact, when that opportunity came, the senior pastor I was still working for, he just come by one day because he knew and heard that this church was talking to me. And he said, you do what you want, but pay attention to that opportunity. And that's where we ended up going. I just appreciated him. Anyhow, well, here's Abram. Pack up. You don't know where you're going, but I'll let you know when you get there. Leave your family, pack up your stuff, go into some place you don't know, maybe going to be doing something you don't know about. But God gave his word. God gave his direction. And in that context, God gives his promise, his word to us. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this, but I also want you to know there's somebody on our pastoral staff who finds himself in that very situation. So I want to be praying for him and his wife and children. We have talked over time. He has submitted his resignation. He doesn't know where he's going. But he felt the Lord talk to him about this. And so we conversed. And this is the kingdom. God owns them. We don't own them. I don't own them. And we want to partner with what God seems to be doing and saying. And so Pastor Isaac and Emma and their children, born and unborn, are going to be leaving our pastoral staff. And he's taken a step of faith because the Lord spoke to him. He doesn't have another place to go to yet. He's had an introductory conversation with a pastor at another church, but they're not sure yet. But what he is sure of is that he was supposed to resign here. So we're going to honor his faith, his obedience. I want you to be praying for them as they continue to make finish here well, make their transition to whatever God has for them. Okay? And then the other side is that we want you to be praying for New Life, our youth, and our college and career. Right? There's two sides of this. We want to pray for them, but we also need God to provide the next leader here. And that takes time. So as we go through this, don't come up to me next week and say, so, who's coming? This takes time. And I'll talk more about that maybe in time to come. But so here, the man of God is obeying God's word. So Pastor Isaac and Emma, we love you. We'll love you long after your last Sunday here, which is July 20th, by the way. Okay. We didn't announce this because we want to give him opportunity on a Wednesday night to talk to the youth he pastors, and a Thursday night to talk to his college and career who he pastors, and prior to that, talk to his leadership team. And so we've had to go through some of this. Okay. And so July 20 might sound fast to you, but there's been things happening prior to that, okay? And so that's going to be his last Sunday. We're going to honor them, of course, in that service. And next Sunday, he is going to be preaching here. You are going to be preaching. Yeah. He'll be taking the service and doing that. So, you know, it sounds like a little bit of a, ooh, frightening thing to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, right? And go, wow, could I ever really do that? You know, we read about it in the Bible about Abram and others, right? Who left home and house and life and family to follow the Lord. And we read about it and it's inspirational. But all of a sudden when it happens in our life or somebody close to us, we go, wow. And we all ask the question, you know, could I do that if that's what the Lord said to me, right? Some of you are probably going, oh, I wish he'd say that to me. I'd love to get out of where I'm at, especially that leave family part. No, I'm kidding. I'm messing with you. You know, and it's a challenge. But there are some principles at work here. And, you know, we have to come to a place to trust God's promise or God's word. Because whatever is said to us by him is going to be challenged. Sometimes by our own thinking, but sometimes by other voices in our life. Sometimes by circumstances. Sometimes by situations. Wow. And then we start to go, did I hear from him? Was this really him? This is harder than I thought. I thought, you know, if I obeyed you and did this, all of a sudden you would cause this opportunity to float down from heaven before my eyes and manifest here on earth, and I could just float into it. That day's coming. A new Jerusalem. But I want to remind you of something. When the Lord calls us to do something that is unknown to us, unfamiliar to us, different, I want you to remember not to go against his word. Now, I want to say this to you. In the starting place for God's will in our life and hearing his voice has to do with being very familiar with his written word. The more we are familiar with his written word and what he says and how he treats people, it will help you, listen, it will help you and I to begin to hear his voice better. Because here's the fact. Tell me, if you and I don't obey his written word to us, how in the world would we ever obey his revelation direction word to us to do something? If we don't do this, how will we ever do that? We'd like to think that we would. Oh, if you would just told me to pack up or go or do that, oh, yeah, no problem. But, you know, we have a hard time knowing this and reading this and obeying this. I will tell you that we begin to hear his voice better and his prompting better the more that we know his word and know his voice in these pages. Because his word, it's who he is. So when you're in the place of decision, remember his word, remember his promises, and it will be tested by your own flesh and sometimes by the counsel of others who mean well, but it is not the voice of the Lord. Not every voice is. And so I want you in your decision process, when the path doesn't seem completely clear and you don't have the total roadmap and every step of the way, to trust his word and don't go against his written word. Concerning personal prophecies, I want to throw a note in here. Concerning personal prophecies. Now, personal prophecies, okay, the prophecies of this whole book is prophetic. But the prophecies that are called prophecies within this prophetic book, we don't really question. We pray for revelation, we gain for understanding. We also know that as the Holy Spirit has been dispensed, that there are also personal words of prophecy that can come to people given by someone else. Now, I want to share with you, it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We embrace prophecy. But I want to tell you, when it comes to personal prophecy, you be very careful. I've had a ton of personal prophecies in my life, by very good known people that I trust in my life, who are fruitful. But I want you to know, some of their prophecies over the years that I listened, I prayed about, I would set on a shelf and say, Lord, if there's anything here, you bring it to me. But until then, it's going to be on the shelf here until you quicken it to me. Okay? Because I want you to know, I wouldn't be here. I'd be on a bus traveling around with my family. God didn't quicken that to me. That's not what he led us to do. But it was part of a personal prophetic word to us. And there was a lot of things, and I'm not making fun of that. I'm just telling you that I appreciate words of encouragement. You want to encourage and prophesy to somebody? Give them this. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. I'm going to I'm going to read this to you, and this is in the ESV translation. It could read a little bit different in your translation, but it means the same. Do not despise prophecies. Don't mock them. Don't make fun of them. Because the other part is this. I remember that particular prophecy about the bus and the coach and traveling around and doing that. We have to remember something. My life's not over yet. So I can't mock and make fun of that because that could be in my future yet. I don't think it is at this point, but, you know, I've been wrong before. Ask my wife. Don't really ask her, just to take it for granted. Do not despise prophecy, but here it is, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Now, so get this context. Personal prophecy comes to you from somebody. It has to do with directing your life. That's nothing to mess with. So you're to test that word. And it says, hold fast to that which is good, which means there's possibly something in there that's not good. Hold fast to the good, the stuff that, and that you can dismiss or leave on the shelf or in the bucket. Unless God quickens it to you. But hold fast to that which is good. The rest, you have to remember something. There could be a little human in it. Okay? The gifts of the Spirit are pure and true and good. But they're coming through us, vessels. And sometimes we get the gist out, the purpose out, sometimes the exact words we hear from the Lord, but sometimes there's a little bit of us that gets in there. And that's the part that we have to be able to say in discerning and revelation from God, a word coming to us, a word coming to me, hold fast to that which is good after it's been tested, which means the stuff that isn't, you can dismiss. And it doesn't mean you got to run around with a purse or pocket full of stones going back to somebody who prophesied something to you and it wasn't all good and it didn't all come to pass that you got to start throwing stones at them. Okay? Don't have to do that. But you be careful about your life because it's pretty easy for somebody else to come and say, thus saith the Lord, and this is what you should do. They don't have to do it. It's your life in God, your life journey, okay? So I want you to honor prophecies, embrace prophecy, but you're supposed to test and hold what is good. Okay, hold fast to that. The promises. So when God speaks to you and he says, resign, and I want you to know that we're to know his voice. It helps by knowing his word. Because to please him and honor him, it takes faith. And I know for you and I, you can grow anxious about opportunities and things like that. And I grew a little bit anxious in that time, but this is the deal. If you know him and who he really is, you can trust him. And when you know his voice, you know his voice. And when it's tested, you will hold fast. So honor his word and honor his directives in your life when you know it's his voice. Trust his promise because adversity will rise. And that adversity, you have to remember what you heard in the private place. Look at Moses and the burning bush. Right? Okay, you go back to Egypt. I'm sending you to deliver my people. And Moses showed up, going back the first time. Because nobody else there got the memo. It was just him going. And it's like they didn't get the memo. And it ran into all kinds of trouble and conflict and problems. It was tested. And then God decides to, he continues to uphold his word, but he begins to fashion Moses to be that messenger, that deliverer, the one who through God's power would show up. And that people started to see it and get the memo. Not everybody gets the memo and understands what God speaks to you. And we look for encouragement. We look for encouragement from people close to us and credible people in the faith. But I want to tell you, you personally need to remember what you heard for sure, his voice, in the private place. I needed to remember that kitchen experience in that townhouse. I still picture it. I still can kind of see me standing there and God speaking to me. And I can look back at other places in my life where I knew it was his voice. You know, here's the thing. When God gives you directions, you have to remember that in the process and saying yes, he may call you to do something, go somewhere, whatever it is. And it might be outside of your personal preference. It wouldn't necessarily be a thing that you choose to do or a thing that you want to do or a place that you want to go. God can call and direct you outside your personal preferences. It's his prerogative. And it's not a depressing thing and a gloom thing, but he calls us sometimes to go and to do beyond our feelings and our prejudices and our preferences. You look at Jonah. God speaks to Jonah. He says, listen, I want you to go to Nineveh. And I want you to go there, and I want you to bring my word to them. And Jonah says, paraphrase, yeah, that's what he said. I'm not going. So he goes down to Joppa, gets on a boat, and he starts going towards Tarshish. And, of course, you know the Jonah and the great fish story. Eventually, after the whole, you know, whale bile stuff, he goes. Jonah goes. Now, this was not a faith issue for Jonah. He knew he heard the voice of the Lord. He knew it. This was a preference issue. I don't like where God is sending me. I don't like what he wants me to say to those people. I don't like those people. Those people deserve damnation in his context. That's what he says. And I know if I go there and speak your word, they're going to repent and you're going to turn from your anger. I would rather have your anger on those people. Because they're evil. That's my view. That's my preference. That's his feeling. That's right. Yeah. And God's going to sometimes and throughout our life call us and direct us beyond our preference and beyond our reasoning of who deserves saving. Yeah. You'll find it. And it's in Jonah chapter 3. I should read this to you. Chapter 3, and it goes in the early part of chapter 4. When God saw that they did, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, this is after Jonah went and spoke God's word, God relented of the disaster that he had said would come upon them, and he did not do that thing of judgment upon them because they repented. But that displeased Jonah exceedingly. And Jonah was angry And he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is not this what I said would happen? This is why I made haste to flee somewhere else, to go to Tarshish. For I knew that you are gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." He even gets so dramatic, he says, "Lord, now you might as well just take my life." See, what about when God calls us to a place we don't know, or we don't know where it is yet? And what about when he calls us beyond our preference of why we should go and what's the motive here and what's that place going to look like and what am I going to be doing? We want the roadmap. We want it to suit our flesh, even though we make it sound like very Christian things to him when we try to plead our case and convince him and change his mind. It's interesting. You know, when Abram went, he traveled with some relatives. Lot was his nephew. And as they were going, it's interesting, while Abram was making his faith journey to where he was supposed to go, that he did not know yet, God did not show him. He's just making the journey, like you and I in our faith journey. Along the way, his nephew Lot gets taken during the siege that happened, because Lot lived near Sodom and Gomorrah. And so when three other kings came and conquered that, he was taken captive. And Abram heard about it. Now, Abram is trekking along on his own faith journey. And yet when he hears that Lot was taken captive, Abram rounds up 318 skillful men and himself, and they go and they rescue Lot and get him out of there. I want to mention this to you. When you are making your faith journey, in your faith journey and obeying God and going, you keep your eye out for others that you can rescue along the way. Because I want to tell you this. Though it's your faith journey, it's not all about you. Amen. So many times in my life, felt a direction to do or to go, and along the way, there seems to be this distraction. Now, there are real distractions. But the distraction that I'm putting quotes around is usually somebody in need, a person, something happens. But no, I'm on my faith journey. Sorry. Here's Abram on his faith journey, and he goes, and he wages war, a battle, a real battle, not just an inconvenience, to help somebody else. Places that you and I go that we need to pay attention to in our life, where though we're making our journey, it's not all about us. And it's interesting that when Abram goes himself and 318 men, he goes to battle and rescue someone else. He used his God-given resources to help them. Let it cost you something and don't be afraid of it. The resources that God has given you while you are making your faith journey and someone is in need. But I'm journeying. I don't know how far I'm going to go. This has got to last me. Jesus was on his way to a lot of places. And along the way, distractions showed up. Amen. People in need. Amen. I want you to remember something in your faith journey as you remember his promise, you remember his word, you're willing to go, you move beyond your personal preferences, that along the journey, you keep your eye out for people and have a sincere prayer about, God, will you save and deliver people along my path? Because it's not all about me. You might wonder sometimes, what was the purpose of me doing this and going there? But it was the people along the way. Or maybe we ignored them and we missed it. Well, chances are God will give you another chance, because he's going to call you somewhere beyond your preference, beyond your scope, beyond familiarity, somewhere, some way in your life. And you'll have the chance to, this time, travel with your eyes wide open. Amen. Last thing. When God speaks to you, and he gives you directives, expect great things to happen. Amen. I mean, expect it. Not like, oh, it'd be really neat if. No, expect it. Because when God calls us somewhere, generally speaking, other than when it's just simply an act of obedience, okay? And, you know, but when he calls us to do something that fits in this kind of realm of decision in our life, expect something great, because one of the ingredients of God's purpose and plan is impossibility. He calls us to the impossible. Now, you have developed skill. You maybe have developed talent. You have grown in your Christian character. You have become gifted, or he gave you a gifting, or it's one you developed. And so you have these wonderful things at your disposal. But they're going to come to their end, and they're going to come to their boundary, and they're going to come to their limit. Your skill will get you so far. Your talent will get you so far. All these things that we use, that God has given to you and I, they will come to a boundary, and it will face impossibility. Now, what will you do? Will you remember what you heard in the private place? Have you stayed in his word, that you know his voice, you know who God is? Have you surrendered yourself to move beyond your preferences and prejudices and your ways? Have you traveled along now and faced impossibility and helped people along your journey, and that you get to a point where now you're at the end of your resource? What are you going to do? You see, expect great things, because God will call you to some impossible things, things that you cannot do on your own, things that you cannot do just in your own ingenuity and your own power, no matter how much the people around you praise you and laud you of how marvelous and terrific and great you are. You'll come to the end. Those things only reach so far. And what will you do? What will I do? Mark 9:26, it says, all things are possible to them who believe. Who believe. Who believe in what? Believe in the one who spoke to them in the private place. And that you are faithful and true, regardless of what circumstances have unfolded. Matthew 19:26. All things are possible with God. Amen. All things are possible with God. Everything, all things are possible with God. So in conclusion, I want to mention this to you. Know his word, because it's who he is. Obey his direction, because he has a plan for you. Turn to a couple people around and say, God has a plan for you. Chelsea, God has a plan for you. Reach people on your faith journey because it's not all about you. Amen. Don't fear the unknown and the adversity along the way because all things are possible through Christ Jesus. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please? So, Pastor Isaac, I want to say this. Congratulations. I know you don't know where you're going yet or what you're going to be doing. But congratulations. You've seemed confident. You've heard the voice of the Lord. So I say congratulations to you. Wherever you go and whatever you're going to do, this is a very special place, and it will always be a part of you. But we want you to build off of it. Amen. I mean, much of your childhood was here. Yeah. Right? Where were you born? Here. You were born in Sparta. Lived here all his life. Wow, that's a real long time. And so encourage him. Encourage Emma. Be praying for them in your Monday through Saturday life too. God would lead them. God would direct them. God would speak. God would prevail. God would shape them. Remember, it's more important who we become than what we do for God. It's more important who we become. And I've not totally forgotten what it is to be in those shoes. Not his literal shoes, but in that place. I remember. I want you to resign. I didn't have to go. The Lord spoke to me. So then it was I had to go. And then be praying for new life, for our youth, for our college and career ministry. Yeah. I don't know what you face in this life or what's coming around the corner where you have to make a decision about something. And I mean, you know, a little bit weightier things, right? You remember God's word, how to live. And you'll learn his voice better. The more you read this and know this, you know him and you can trust him. And you remember that what he really speaks to you when you know it's his voice. Be faithful. Be obedient. He may call you beyond your preference. He may call you to do something that, well, not your favorite thing, or maybe you've never done before. It is good for you and I to face impossibilities in our life because we see the faithfulness of God over and over and over and over again. But it's so hard sometimes, so challenging. Well, stop getting in the way. Right? You want to walk away with something? Walk away with that. I get in the way sometimes. My mind, my flesh, that make it hard. Walk with the Lord. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And life in him is greater than just this life. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard what the Lord has prepared for those who love him.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.